If your belly is hanging over your waistband more than it used to, you probably should point the finger at all those macho nachos you've been eating. And you should. I mean, the macho nachos are definitely to blame, and the polar bear dogs, too. But if you have any extra large friends, maybe you should hold them accountable. Research suggests obesity is contagious. It can literally spread from person to person, like a fashion trend. And it's not the only social contagion out there. Depression, even goodness, appear to be communicable, too. Harvard medical sociologist Nicholas Christakis studies social contagion, and he joins us now. Hi, Nicholas.
Hello. How are you, Faith?
I'm fine. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So this social contagion, this is not coughing on your friends and getting them sick. This is hanging out with your pals, and before long, they grow obese because you're obese. I understand this idea came out of your work as a hospice doctor.
Well, it started our interest in networks in general and our interest in taking seriously the fact that people are embedded in these social structures of tremendous complexity started because of my work as a hospice doctor. I used to take care of people who were seriously ill and dying, and in doing so, I became aware of the fact that the person who was ill could influence the health status of other people to whom they were directly connected, and then it could ripple through the network and affect still others, and then still others to whom they were not really directly connected, in a kind of cascade effect, and in what I would call a non-biological spread of disease, a kind of sociological spread of illness and health-related phenomena.
So eventually that sort of realization got you interested in analyzing obesity as a socially transmitted condition.
Not immediately. There were some intermediate steps. So first I became interested in looking at how illness or death in one person could increase the risk of illness or death in their spouse.
Mm-hmm.
A kind of an old topic, but I was revisiting it in a variety of ways, looking at large samples of married couples and looking at how hospitalization in one person might, for instance, increase the risk of death of their spouse.
Mm.
But then having studied these pairs of individuals, these dyads, a very simple idea occurred to me, and of course to many others as well, that these dyads are themselves interconnected into higher order structures of tremendous complexity. You have to remember that most people nowadays have a visual image of social networks because in a way they've become part of our pop culture. And many people have social networking websites. They're used to seeing these images of networks. But 5 or 10 or even 5 years ago, these were much less a part of popular culture. And so this recognition that we're all embedded in these very intricate branching patterns of social ties that stretch out, you know, many degrees of separation, and this realization that we are connected to people who are beyond what I would call our social horizon, that is to say that, sure, you know your friends and your relatives, and you might know their friends and relatives and coworkers. But after 3 degrees, you probably don't actually know those people. And yet, things that those people do, actions and decisions that they take, experiences that they have, can ripple through the network and affect you. And we began to do a series of studies looking at this and ultimately decided to study as our first example the spread of obesity.
Mm-hmm.
And we were motivated by a few things. I mean, first of all, it had become very fashionable to speak of the obesity epidemic. And epidemic is a funny word because technically one of the things it means is that the rate of something, an infection typically, is higher than usual. And the term had been used to speak about obesity as well. And this struck us as quite interesting because epidemic contains another meaning, which is that there's a kind of communicable nature. It spreads from person to person. And so we wondered whether obesity really was epidemic in that sense. That is to say, the obesity epidemic wasn't just a metaphor. It was a reality, that there was a spread from person to person.
And so what did you find out? How is obesity transmitted?
Well, I mean, our first question for us was it transmitted at all? And that was our main objective, was to see whether there was a sense in which your or my obesity status was related to the obesity status of others around me, not necessarily the ones I knew directly. I mean, look, it wouldn't have been such a big deal to show that your weight gain causes my weight gain. I mean, people have an intuitive feel for that. Much more provocative is to show that your friend's 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 weight gain causes your weight gain. And in fact, that's, I think, what we were able to show. Interestingly, when we published our work, there were kind of two camps of people. There were some people who said to us, oh, for God's sakes, this is obvious. We're all influenced by the behaviors of others around us. Your friends get tattoos. You get tattoos. We speak of laughter as being contagious. We speak of gambling behavior as being contagious. Why should we be surprised that obesity is contagious? But then others reacted sort of equally extremely and in the other direction. They said, this is a preposterous claim. How can you claim that obesity is contagious? They thought we literally meant like
just
being near someone.
Like I sneeze on you. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And
Cheetos come out of my nose.
Exactly. Exactly. And we looked at this just stunned at the kind of popular response, because we wanted to introduce those two camps to each other and sort of stand back, because from our perspective, what we showed on the one hand was not an easy thing to show. And we showed, moreover, that it wasn't just dyadic, a person to person, but it was also hyperdyadic, person to person to person.
Nicholas, how? Explain to me. So, for example, I know that you found out that if I live across the country from my brother and I see him once a year and he starts getting fat, it can encourage me to get fat too. How?
One theory is that when you see others around you display certain behaviors, whether it's running and losing weight or eating lots of beer and muffins. It's a terrible combination, I know, but eating lots of beer and muffins could gain weight, that you might copy that behavior. A different idea is that there's not a spread of behaviors, but rather a spread of norms, a spread of ideas. So you see people around you gaining weight, and it resets your expectations about what an acceptable body size is. And we found some hints in our study that suggest that in the case of obesity, at least, it's more a spread of norms than a spread of behaviors. And one of them is the thing you alluded to. We found that it didn't really matter how far away your social contacts were, geographically speaking. And we think that norms would be more able to leap great geographic distances than behaviors.
Now, finally, Nicholas, we only have about a half a minute left. You actually need to come back sometime and talk to us about how we can spread happiness and good things. But I have to ask, does your work right now on obesity, does it make you feel especially conscious of how you might be affecting the people in your social network? Do you feel like you have to be happy and thin around your friends?
Absolutely. In some ways it does. But what's interesting, amazing to me is a lot of the headlines after our work came out said things like, gaining weight, blame your friends. And in some ways that was a quintessentially American kind of take, because there was never a headline that said, yeah, right, exactly, not my fault. But what was amazing is there was never any headlines that said, if your friends are gaining weight, examine your own behavior. You
right.
might be the source. It was always others are responsible. But actually, if you take this seriously, if you realize the extent to which our lives are all interconnected, it does give you a renewed sense of our common humanity and the extent to which we're all in it together.
Nicholas, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Nicholas Christakis is a sociologist and professor of medicine at Harvard. For more about him, please visit our website, morefairgame.org.